Let's turn now in the Word of God for our instruction. We turn to the Gospel of Mark and the chapter 7. The Gospel of Mark and the chapter 7, commencing our reading of the verse 1. This is the Word of the Lord. Come, let us hear the Word of God together. Lord, give us ears to hear and hearts to truly receive His Word this evening. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashen hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels and of tables. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashen hands? He answered and said unto them, Well hath Esaias prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honour thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, It is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive? Whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it. But he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseeched him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed, and saith unto him, Epaphratha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain, and charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear, and the dumb to speak. Amen. This is the word of the Lord, and may the Lord be pleased to bless that public reading of his most holy, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word to our hearts and to our minds, all to the glory of his name and to the good of our needful and never dying souls. Well, dear congregation, I turn your prayerful attention once again to the words that I read to you in your hearing there in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, the chapter 7. And I take for my text, the text is found in the verse 28. They are the words of the Syrophoenician woman who came and found the Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples. And she said, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. We'll seek to explain this. It has been a number of years since I've preached from this passage of Scripture, but I pray that it will come in a new and a fresh way to us, and especially as the Gospel is applied through this. Here is a woman in earnest seeking of the Lord's mercy upon her daughter. Her daughter has an evil spirit. Here is a woman in great trauma, and here she comes to the only one that is able to help, the Son of God. And it's interesting, it's important to read the parallel passage. She calls him Lord, Son of David, as we will read. She recognizes who he is. Not just a miracle healer, a miracle maker, one who is able to perform many miracles. In fact, the whole scene and the setting surrounds the very fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, if you notice in the chapter 6 and the verse 53, let me just give something of the context and the setting here. Our Lord Jesus, if you notice in the chapter 6, has been ministering in the land of Gennesaret, that is, the northwestern side of the Sea of Galilee. We read in the verse 53, and when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And then you notice in that chapter, at the end of chapter 6, the Lord Jesus Christ, he healed many people. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through that whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. So in the previous chapter, in a completely different region there, the Lord Jesus has been healing multitudes of people. As soon as he hits the shore, as it were, with a little ship that the disciples on, the multitudes gather to bring the sick. And he has done all things well, as we read at the end of this chapter, chapter 7, how he has healed the lame, the sick, the halt, the blind. Here is the Son of God, one who has come from heaven to do mighty works, to testify that he is indeed the Son of God. These things giving credence to the fact that he is God the Son. You notice at the beginning of chapter 7, he then moves away from the Sea of Galilee on the northwestern part there to the sea coastal towns of Tyre and Sidon. And, this is an interesting part. But just before that, we note, if you see the beginning of the chapter 7, how while he is there at that region of Gennesaret, chapter 7 verse 1, then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, and they found fault. So the Lord Jesus has been healing all these people. And they hear of this, they're not taken up with this. They're more concerned with the fact that he and the disciples are not washing their hands. They should be rejoicing that the Messiah has come, that he's doing mighty things. And so what does he do? Well, he upbraids them. He speaks of them being hypocrites. They are whited sepulchres. And he says to them, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but it's what comes out. It's what a man's heart already is in this world. We come into this world as fallen creatures. We're born with a heart full of iniquity. It's out of the heart these things proceed. You're born as a child, as a baby with a sinful heart. Nobody teaches you how to sin. It's there. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, the scriptures say. And in the womb, our mothers conceived us in sin. We are born sinners. We come from sinful parents. It's not about washing hands. It's not about washing pots and pans. This is the tradition of men. They thought that by their rituals and their victuals, that they could somehow present themselves good and clean before God. They are indeed whited sepulchres. They wash on the outside, but they're unclean on the inside. And so the Lord, after upbraiding them, he moves to the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. He, as it were, comes away from them, comes away from these Pharisees and these scribes. Well, here is a woman who hears about him. She is grief-stricken because of her daughter is possessed with a devil. Verse 24, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, we read, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth a devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. She knew as a Gentile, because that's what she was. She was a Greek, Syrophoenician by nation. She was, and that's what the Jews call them, dogs, outsiders, outcasts. What a difference, what a contrast between her and these religious hypocrites, the scribes and the Pharisees who thought they were clean, actually deserving of nothing. The Son of God showing mercy upon them, healing the sick, the blind, the halt, the lame. He did so many miracles in that region of Galilee, in his great Galilean ministry. And yet they were so unthankful, always there criticizing him. And you know, there are many like that. They will pick fault with the Bible and try to pick fault with the Lord Jesus, but you will find no fault in him. People try to pick fault with Christianity, but would people realize that they are deserving the fires of hell? Would sinners realize they deserve wrath? It is only on account of God's mercy that he sent the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. He sent his Son into the world to save sinners. He said, I have not come to call the righteous, or people that think that they're righteous, but sinners. Sinners unto repentance. But these will not repent. He upbraids these Pharisees. He upbraids these scribes. Teachers of the law, they should have known better. They just wanted to kill him. In the end, well, they plot against him. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he's just withdrawn himself there from Galilee to Tyre and Sidon. It was that area that was given to one of the tribes, Asher, many years ago, but has now fallen. It's now been lost. In the year 722 BC, we know what happened. Israel in the north fell. And it has now become a hugely Gentile area. And that's where the Lord goes. He is coming away from the crowds. And he enters into a house with his disciples. It reminds us we need to humble ourselves. We need to humble ourselves, not be as these Pharisees and Sadducees and these religious hypocrites. Would we see ourselves as this woman, as undeserving? Undeserving of any kindness. And so he removes himself. Well, to these two coastal cities, Tyre and Sidon, or Zidon. Josephus Flavius, one of the Jewish historians who lived near this time, he speaks about the Jews and these people here of Tyre and Sidon that become the bitterest of enemies. During the time of the Maccabeans, there was a revolt, and Tyre had fought against the Jews, and there was this great animosity between the Jews and the people of Tyre. So it was not easy being here as a Jew. But of course, the Lord Jesus, who has planned and ordained all things whatsoever should come to pass, knew that this woman would come. We read here that she heard of him, and in hearing of him, she seeks after him while the Lord Jesus Christ enters into a house and seeks seclusion with his disciples. She hears of the dear Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and seeks him. This woman who is distraught because of the condition of her daughter. And the Lord changes her and her daughter's life. Verse 25, notice, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him. So this woman had heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Well, you notice she calls him Lord in the verse 28. As she comes to him, she doesn't come to him as a, you know, just some sort of miracle worker, some sort of religious guru, but she calls him Lord. Actually, the Greek word that she uses here is the word kurios, which means Lord. Adonai would be the Hebrew. So she calls him Lord, which suggests that she acknowledges him as not just a mere man. In fact, if you turn with me just for a moment to the parallel passage there in Matthew 15, notice what she says. I read from the The verse 21 we read, Matthew 15:21, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts, from the same area, and cried out unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." Now just stay there in that passage just for a moment. It's interesting as you read in this passage that the Lord Jesus, he's gone into a house. It's not her house, because we'll read in this passage that he goes, when she goes back into her house, her daughter is completely healed. But he goes into a house, maybe perhaps because he wants not to be known amongst the people. They go into a house, and then she's calling from outside the house. You notice in this chapter, Matthew 15, in the verse 23, "But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." But you notice there in the verse 22, when she first addresses him, she says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." She knew something about his origin. And this is the striking thing. And this is why it's important to read both passages of Scripture. She acknowledged that here is the promised one, the one who God would set upon David's throne forever and forever. Not just some religious guru or some miracle worker, but here is the very Son of God, she acknowledges. And she bows and she calls him Lord. She saw him as one worthy to worship, to praise, to adore. Have mercy. What she meant really by all of this is, I don't deserve anything. And here's a lesson for every sinner tonight. Here's a woman, as it were, knocking on mercy's door. If thou wilt. Of course, it all depends on the Lord, doesn't it? And we're told here, in this passage, he answered her not a word. You can imagine her standing outside the house for a while, or wherever it was, and the disciples are speaking on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells them to tell her to go away. But of course, what he's doing is he's drawing her out, isn't he? She will not go away. She will have her prayer answered. Look what he says, the verse 23. "But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So they, disciples, want her sent away. They're making a noise, a commotion. They don't want to attract the crowds. But the Lord Jesus seems to be resistant about her. And he says, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She understood what this meant. I've come for the sheep of Israel. The lost sheep of Israel. God has his sheep amongst Israel. As we read in Romans 11, the Apostle Paul speaks how all Israel shall be saved. The lost sheep of Israel. And there are still some today the Lord is saving. Some of those in Israel. We don't know how many. But he has his lost sheep of Israel. He also has his lost sheep of the Gentiles. And he will save all of his people. They are, of course, all in his spiritual Israel. They are grafted in. The Gentiles are grafted in with the Jews so that they shall be of one tree, as the Apostle Paul says. And she acknowledges that she's really an outsider. I'm a dog, she says. I'm not worthy to be fed. He says, I've come to feed my sheep. Of course, he doesn't mean the Pharisees, the proud Pharisees, but those that will hear him, those that will sit under his word, and those who will receive him as the Son of God, as the Son of David, as the only Savior amongst men. And she acknowledges, she says, I realize I am just a dog. I wonder, friend, do you see yourself like that this evening? What is a dog? Not much. A dog. That's how Mephibosheth saw himself as he sat at David's table. As a dog. What a picture. An outsider. An enemy of God. He was of Saul's household. And we as strangers, alienated, separated from the commonwealth of Israel. She saw herself as not of one of God's favored people, as it were, in the Old Testament. Unworthy. And she's really acknowledging the sinfulness also of the Gentiles. Have you and I not come from a sinful, God-hating world? We come from sinful, unbelieving parents. And we are all outsiders, aren't we? Just as her. But she knows she's got no hope apart from him. It's only the Son of God that can do her good. She calls him Lord. Verse 22 of Matthew 15. Thou Son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She knows that only the Son of God can deal with the devil, or even the devil himself. And let me say this. I know this is not pleasant to the ears, but the Bible does tell us that by nature we are blinded by the God of this world, who is Satan himself, the prince of the power of the air, as the Apostle Paul says, that works now in the sons of disobedience. That's us by nature. And only God can help. Do you remember how Legion came out of the cave after cutting himself to pieces? He came running, as it were. What a scary sight that must have been. This naked man coming, smelling. His body lacerated with wounds after years of cutting himself. Living amongst the dead corpses. Yet falling down and saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And that's what he did. He cried. And it says, he fell on his knees, as it were. He was worshipping in his state of sin and wretchedness. And friends, that's how we must come if we come to the Lord like this woman. We feel ourselves to be outsiders and lost without any hope. This is the only way to seek the Lord. This is the way. We come with all of our leprous sin. Her daughter, unworthy of God's mercy. She unworthy too of God's mercy or any kindness to be shown. That is exactly how it is for you, my friend, and for me. It's of God's mercy. He says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I'm afraid there is a very cheap and nasty kind of Christianity today. It just goes, you know, just call upon the name of the Lord. You know, that's all you've got to say. Just pray this prayer and say these few things. And you've got to come in all of your vileness, in all of your wretchedness, and confess and acknowledge. And she has acknowledged the condition of her daughter. She has acknowledged that really she has no rights before the Lord. And that's the same for all of us. We have no rights, friends. And in fact, the Jews had no rights. They had forfeited every right. Think of the kindness of God shown to the Jews over the years. They had no rights before God. Nobody has any rights. We have forfeited them. It's of God's mercy. He will call his sheep. She has heard of him. We note that. And in the hearing of him, she seeks him. Now there's a word for us there, isn't there? What have you heard of the Saviour? Have you heard that he has mercy? That's what you need. You need God's mercy. You don't need somebody just to fix up your life. That's how the Lord Jesus Christ is presented to so many people today. Become a Christian, it'll be good for you. You make lots of friends. You meet a nice Christian lady or a nice Christian man and you'll have a good family. Friends, if God doesn't have mercy on you, you're going to hell. You're going to a lost eternity. Her daughter had the devil. And the devil, well, he has everybody in this world in captivity. And the Lord Jesus Christ sets prisoners free. The Lord Jesus Christ, as it were, set this woman's daughter free. Because he has power. Power to save. And all who are his hear. He said, what did he say? My sheep hear my voice. They hear me and they come to me. And here is one of his sheep coming. Although she is a Gentile sheep, she's coming. And she worships him. And that's where you've got to begin. You've got to begin with worship. He is Lord. And being Lord means that he owns you. Of course he owns everything. But he owns your heart. He owns your life. He owns every aspect of you. Remember what he said to many, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not do as I say? He who is Lord of their hearts and their minds. And she acknowledges that if the Lord doesn't give this, well, he's only right. Isn't he not to give? That's how you come to God. That's how you come to God. And you find that he's very gracious. You find that he's very gracious. But you come to him in that way, acknowledging that even if he doesn't give it to you, he's right to not give you anything, but to give you hell, because that is what you are deserving of. And it seems that he's putting her off. It seems that even the disciples are putting her off. But no, she realizes that if she does not have the Lord, she has nothing. She will not go away empty. And that's how it was for me for a long time. I'd say a long time, a few weeks, perhaps. It seemed forever. It seemed an eternity when I was waiting for the Lord to have mercy upon me until I knew that time of forgiveness, that he was drawing me out, making me cry out in more earnest to him. Friends, he will have our hearts or nothing at all. He's Lord. He is curious. She recognizes she doesn't even deserve a crumb. But in a house, if you have children, some of the crumbs fall off the table. And the dogs are very thankful just to receive those little crumbs. How thankful they are, and they look up with great glee. And that's how we should feel. If the Lord has ever saved us and done any good, what are we? We're nothings, we're nobodies. But the Lord has had mercy on us. Has he had mercy on you? Have you sought him for mercy, just as she has sought for mercy and pardon? We know nothing about the background of how her daughter got into all of this. We know some people. I knew one Christian lady. We knew she attended this church many years ago. And she was involved in the occult and all kinds of things. But the Lord called her out of that. Friends, the devil is real. One of the things he has done is he has blinded people's minds into this world in making people believe that he does not exist. But he does exist. I mean, look at the world. It's full of sin, isn't it? Look at the violent things that happen. Look at the crimes that are perpetrated. Look at the wickedness in the world. Where did it all come from? It comes from the mind of Satan, who is deceived. He deceived our parents. He's deceived the world. He works in the world through the various systems and ways. And he tells you that you'll find happiness in this world. You'll find contentment in this world. He wants to take as many with him to hell. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks so often about hell. He speaks so often about Satan. And those who are not Christ's will be cast into the lake of fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Believe he's real. He has blinded people to thinking that they have just come into this world and they exist by mere chance. When they have a conscience knowing right from wrong, when God's law is written upon their hearts and their consciences very often accuse them or else excuse them, they know God is real. God has written eternity upon men's hearts. Man is without excuse. People know it. And people very often come under conviction of conscience, don't they? Under the word of God. How many times have you sat under the ministry of God's word and you've been pricked in your heart? And you've been maybe like Felix. I'll put it off for another day. That other day never comes. You not see the wickedness of your heart. You must cry out to God for mercy. Deserve to go to hell. Each of us do. But you must ask God for mercy. Friend, even if he doesn't give it to you, deserve wrath. That's how I came. I tell you this, when I was seeking the Lord, by his grace, of course, as I came under the instruction of God's word and I was convicted sermon after sermon, hearing the word of God and reading the word of God, I knew that if God didn't answer my prayer, he would be right to send me to hell that night. I knew that. And I couldn't answer him a word. But thank the Lord, he had mercy. He didn't send me away empty. He was gracious. But I tell you, he sees the proud afar off. Look at these Pharisees. Oh, we clean. We wash our hands. We go to church. We do this. We do that. We're well. People follow like they did in their traditions. So many people go to church out of tradition. So many people do things out of tradition. But not out of love for the Lord. Not seeing the uncleanness of their heart and their unworthiness before God. Well, what a region he was in. A territory that actually the Jews hated, and a people that the Jews hated. There was a lot of animus because this region of Tyre and Sidon was taken from the tribe of Asher. It used to belong to Israel northern. But now it's taken away and it's full of Gentiles. But you see the grace of our God? I mean, these were the enemies of God at one time. And friends, you know, by nature we are enemies of God. Paul tells us that. We were by nature children of wrath. And if you are without Christ, you are by nature, let me say, a child of wrath. Well, are you a sinner at mercy's door? You must come to the one who says, I will have mercy, upon whom I will have mercy. Don't demand, you can't demand it. You can seek it with all your heart, but you can't demand it. You know, let me say this, the Lord Jesus Christ, he truly knows the heart of everyone that comes to him. That's the difference. You know, many people will pray. I have no doubt that many pray. The Buddhist prays, the Muslim prays, the Roman Catholic will pray. But what are they praying? Are they praying, God, have mercy on me? Are they praying, God, receive my good works? Receive my tradition? Receive my so-called good life? But friends, we are deserving of wrath. Would we see that? Who is the Lord Jesus? He's the Son of God. We are so undeserving of him. He is the Son of David, whom God had promised he would put him on a throne that would last forever and forever. His eternal kingdom is coming. His everlasting kingdom is soon going to be ushered in. You've heard of his kingdom. You've heard of his righteousness. We have no righteousness before God, dear friends. We are as dogs. We are as filthy. The Jews had the law, but they were dirty on the outside. They thought themselves to be clean, but we're all, Isaiah says, we are all but an unclean thing, and our iniquities, they carry us away. And we all do fade, friends, as a leaf. We all do fade. The autumn time when the leaves fall from the trees, that should remind you, we all do fade as a leaf. You see, the leaf changing colour through the autumn time. It looks beautiful for a while, but it's then dying. And you are dying men and women, dying children. You may not live to the next autumn of life. You may not live to the next year. Will your iniquities carry you away? Here is a woman who sought the Lord, as it were, in the middle. We don't exactly know exactly where he is between Tyre and Sidon, but she found him. She found him. And the Lord is to be found. Where is he? He's not afar off. You seek him in prayer. You seek him with an earnest and a sincere heart. He says in his word, I'm found of them that sought me not. Actually, he came to this region. The Lord Jesus came to this region so that she might seek him. Maybe you've come to hear the ministry of the word, and you didn't know you'd hear about Christ. And that's how it was for me. The Lord brought me along to the church. I wasn't actually looking for him. But then the Lord drew me. I often say, and I love to say it, it needs to be said again and again and again and again and again. And I hope I never stop saying it. All the days that the Lord gives me to preach, billions will never hear the gospel. Never. Never. Many will hear a false gospel. Many will sit under very unfaithful ministry. Many will never and live in such remote parts of the world, and they will never hear it. What is that telling you? Nobody deserves mercy. Nobody, you know, people say, we all deserve a chance. Nobody deserves a chance, friends. It was all forfeited in Adam. We forfeited even at the day of our birth, when we were born. We're reminded in the Word of God about the day of our death and the day of our birth. It's one thing to be born. It's one thing to die and to leave as a hell-deserving sinner, isn't it? The Lord Jesus says in one place, it'd been better that they never would have been born. Never been born. These cities of Tyre and Sidon, Remember how he upbraided some of the cities that he did many of his mighty miracles in. He said, if I had preached in some of those cities, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. But woe unto you. And woe unto you, friends, if you have heard. We know salvation is of God's sovereign grace, but to whom much of light has been given, much more will be cried. And the Bible does speak of greater judgment to some in hell than others. Well, salvation is entirely of God's sovereign grace. Remember, there is laid at your feet and my feet responsibility. Here is a woman who saw herself without any hope. And these are the ones, dear friends, let me say, who see in themselves nothing, no virtue, but all the virtue is in the Saviour. He is the only good one. He is the good shepherd who came to seek and to save those who were lost. You feel yourself to be lost, I say, in all earnestness tonight, seek the Lord with all your heart. Be like this woman. Give your soul no rest. She would not go away. She would not leave this house. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy upon my daughter. Jesus, thou son of David, that's who he is. We have no right to him. We have no claim. But to come as sinners, seeking his mercy. And he has said, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. And you know what? He not only gives us mercy, but he gives us heaven. He gives us the riches of his grace. He gives us eternal life. And one day he will make his people to be like him, never to sin again. Never to sin again. And to be in the very presence of God. That is the grace of God. And may many know the working of the Saviour by his grace, even this night, for his name's sake. Amen.